Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
Yes, indeed you are. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about some information technology and how it's used in Finland and other kennel clubs around the world. Also, a cluster of concern. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh. Yellow hills.
Well, good morning there, young William. How are things over in Milton, Ontario?
Well, Wayne, they're doing just lovely here in Milton. The sun is shining. The world is revolving around Milton as it should.
Of course. And
we're ready to go. How's it going in Graceland? North.
Graceland has been spectacular. We had our first, well, they have it every year here, 4th of July parade. Now you're probably wondering, how can you do a parade at an RV resort? Well, easily. Well, everybody has a golf cart. And you dress them up is what you do. You put flags all over the place, fireworks, and these people get serious. And I'm talking about hiring interior decorators or something. And they've got to be doing something because it's beautiful. It's hysterical. And they ride around, and we all sit in lawn chairs at the end of our site. And we have mimosas. And some people next door had margaritas. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, this event. And then there's lunch afterwards, and a fine time is had by all. The coolest thing in the parade for me this year was a spectacular white standard poodle. Deb and her husband, Bob, have this gorgeous white standard. I mean, really, it's very handsome. I think she has a UDX, too. But she's a great, Deb's a great trainer, and this dog is beautiful. And she had it painted stars and stripes. And then the two flags hanging out that she held on to the entire parade in her mouth.
Wow.
It was pretty cool. The dog was trained really nice. Yeah, it was really cool. But, and, you know, we had Rhett and Claire with the Chihuahuas, the great standard poodle Frank, maybe the biggest one I've ever seen. They have no idea they named it after Frank Spella. I told them they did because it was a beautiful standard. Allison and Chris.
And bigger than life.
That's right. Allison and Chris with their great lab, Jim and Melanie with their Brittany, Ron and Elizabeth with Stella, another beautiful standard poodle, Kevin with FedEx, the coolest named American foxhound ever, because he's fast and he's on time. That's why it's FedEx. And a variety of other, I mean, we have a lot of standard poodles here. I mean, really, a whole lot. And I guess followed up by this big contingency of Brittany's Labradors. And then, of course, you have a lot of toy breeds, too. The long-coated Chihuahuas of Rhett and Claire's are just cutest little buggers. And they go to everybody. You know, they hand them off to everybody.
Sounds like a dog park.
Pardon me? Oh, we have two dogs.
It sounds like a dog park you're staying in.
There's two actual dog parks that are done really well. Double gates and the whole thing. Everyone's very respectful. But, you're going to meet someone every day through dogs. And that's the beauty of our little beasts. You know, our dogs are a great gateway to friendships and great way to meet people. And, you know, we're new here. It's only our second season. And meeting people every year with their dogs has been part of the prize. You know, we just really enjoy that. And it's really interesting. I don't know how it works socioeconomically. I don't know why. But there's nothing but purebred dogs here.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, New York City was the same way when I worked there. City of Pure, Chicago, too. There are a few doodles, not many. But, yeah, largely purebred dog. Oh, two soft-coated Wheaton Terriers.
Wow.
They just keep popping up. There's a German short here next door.
We should have a dog show there.
You know, we kiddingly talked about it. And then, you know, they're thinking, you know, something silly. There is a big grassy area, but there's no open field large enough to accommodate because the RV spots are owned, so there wouldn't be enough.
No, I meant an in-park dog show, best dog in park. Does it sound
that's easy. Yeah, that's easy. We could do that. But and then one of the guys that lives here, his name is Saul Vall, and I think his last name is Vall, but I know his first name is Saul. And he's just, you know, this thin old guy, you know, probably in mid-70s. And at the lunch, he has a little PA set up, and I think this is going to be extraordinarily painful. The guy was unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable. Sing, play. I mean, he had all the pedals like Ed Sheeran. I mean, the guy was amazing. And I find out, of course, he played in a band in California with one of the Eagles when he was younger, and then he was a backup guitar for this band and opened for that band. And the guy's a serious musician. And we have a lot of those here, too. A lot of guys play guitars.
That's interesting. I picked up Liam yesterday. He lives in about 20 minutes north of me, and they had a farmer's market, and we stopped in the farmer's market in Rockwood, which is always a great event on Wednesdays, and there's always lots of dogs there. But again, there was this gentleman there, and he had his own tent, and he had a guitar and a drum set.
Really?
And it was, I sat there for, now he wasn't Ed Sheeran, and he wasn't, he didn't even do backup for the Eagles, right? You know, but it was still a lot of fun. It was fun listening to it. So.
One of the things that, that dog shows should learn from this place, there's a lot of dogs here. You'll never, ever see anyone not pick up after their dog. I mean, they do a great job. First of all, it's manicured, the whole place. So you'd feel silly doing it anyway. And there's prescribed dog walk areas plus the two dog parks. So if you want to walk on the trails in the woods, you can do that. But everybody picks up, and it's really refreshing that that's not an issue. And all the dogs that pee, they don't pee on your lawn or on your edge either. They go over on the side grasses or... in the designated spots. So yeah, we could learn a lot from how to take care of dogs and how to treat them here too.
Because that's a big issue in a lot of places, I'll tell you. Even when the clubs supply stations with bags, it's still an issue, you know?
It is. It's crazy. After all these years of screaming about it, we just can't get it straight. And the other thing about dogs that travel like this is they're also socialized. It's unbelievable. You can turn them all loose together. They play, you know, approaching them as a piece of cake. You've been doing it forever. And a lot of full-timers that live full-time in their coaches. I got to tell you, I could do that.
Could you?
Yeah.
Well, I know. Each week I call, you look more and more comfortable.
Yeah. I'm really setting into this. And you talk to these people and did full-time and
there in the winter as well?
No, they go to Florida in the winter. Oh, okay. Now, a lot of them have three spots. They'll have one here, one in Hilton Head, and that's sort of your transitional way on the way down. So you do May to October here, October, November in Hilton Head, and then January, February, March, April in Florida or Arizona, some in Texas, you know, Southern California, somewhere warm, and then just chase 72 degrees. But a lot of these people sold their medical practice, their dental practice, sold their house, bought an incredible coach, and just decided, I'm done with all the stuff. I'm done carrying stuff. You don't need any of this. There's so fewer worries. And and you own two places, and you meet everybody there, and you have your summer set of friends and your winter set of friends. And sometimes there's crossover where there's this group here of six or seven that leave here and go to Hilton Head together. They own spots next to each other down there. So yeah, not a bad way to live.
It actually does sound quite appealing.
So. Yeah, there's something to it. I didn't think I'd like it at all until we had to do it. We were forced into it from being homeless. Anyway, lots going on in our other dog world, the dog show world. Not that, by the way, some of these dogs are show champions. Oh, there's a beagle here who's a show champion.
Oh.
And I can tell you that it's eaten real well since it got that degree.
It's enjoying retirement.
Enjoying retirement. And I met the people and I said right away, I'm going to name a few dogs and your dog's pedigree, because it was Lambert bred for sure. And some Canadian breeding. And I can't think of the woman's name, but I'd had heard of her. And the guy immediately called her and said, I'm here with Wayne Kavanaugh. And she didn't answer the phone. So you want my dog's pedigree? It's not that hard to do, you know. So, that's another one here. Anyway, what's going on in the show world?
Yeah, sounds like it.
I want to start right off with this, Will. There's a post on Facebook that's a little bit long. You want to read it, Will?
No, you go ahead.
I just finished a busy week. Evidently, there was a cluster put together. I don't want to get into the details because I just don't know them well enough. It's the sense of the thing that kind of has been disturbing. Just finished a busy weekend, 5 days with lots of specialties. This cluster was taken over by a person who doesn't live locally, who has no interest in anything but making it big. That's my observations. A cluster this size used all-arounders across the board. What's wrong with that, you say? This, many breeds and specialties. Few, if any, had breed specialists judging any of the breeds on the non-specialty day. For instance, we had a Whippet specialty. Not one day did we even have a hound judge, except for the specialty. For instance, we had a Whippet, and that's because he was hired separately. When our specialty judge walked into the judge's hospitality, he was not welcome. Separate thing. Hired for the specialty, you're not welcome with the cluster. There were a couple hound breeder judges on the panel, but they didn't judge our breed. We never had a hound judge. I know this was the case with many other breeds and groups as well. Instead, they chose to work to death some very good but older judges, all in the name of saving money. Why is that? This cluster was huge. It made plenty of money. The clubs are nonprofits to be here to support purebred dogs, not to make money. Yes, don't be ridiculous. I know they have to break even and make money for the future and operating expenses. Seriously. This is a great venue, an opportunity to give us specialist judges, bringing the entry up, make it an event instead of just another dog show. Hire a few more only can judge one group judges. Oh, hire a few judges who can only judge one group. We keep on harping on it, but there's no need to run them into the ground. I've seen it too much this past few weeks. It just wasn't this past weekend. By the way, our crew of multi-group judges is not young.
No.
And when you work them every day to their max, it's just nothing that, you know, it's nothing that anybody wants to see happen or, you know, our most respected, well-loved judges. Okay. So we are here to judge breeding stock. What we are getting as exhibitors is generic judging by multi-group judges who don't specialize in our group. Sure, sometimes the all-around judges do a great job. Excellent. Sometimes not. Can we at least try to get a working dog specialist when you have working dog specialties, a hound specialist? There was a great hound breeder judge on that panel who didn't once in 5 days judge either of the breeds with larger entries. Shameful. I guess my point is, please utilize the talent you have correctly. Stop running our older judges into the ground. Let go of the purse strings and hire some all breed judges. I understand why some of the smaller shows can have to operate that way. Even they can throw in a few specialists, and they do. I belong to clubs. I know they can do it. I'm begging all show persons to do this. I watch some really generic dogs in lots of breeds getting some big wins, totally missing breed type. It was so very depressing. In this day and age, you have to add a disclaimer. There are many good judges and fabulous dogs that did win. Most of this generic judging was in the classes. This is how we get generic champions. And by the way, the proof of the pudding, if you're a judge, is in the classes. Anybody can judge a group and best in show. That was my ad.
That's it. And that's so true.
Right. Please, for our sport, try to do better. Stop just trying to fill up judging panels with people without regard to how qualified they are or interested in that breed and group. And this is also a call to those clubs to use your own people to put on a show. This cluster was once filled with local people who knew how to hire judges. They were run out, but others who want to control it all are in. This will be the death of our club. Stop it now. And she has a disclaimer. I know huge clusters that do this. They hire breed specialists alongside the all-arounders. The entries are huge and the show is special. The wins mean more and the exhibitors don't get debt. They do get the quality judges they deserve. Don't tell me it can't be done. There are 250 people that have commented so far. I believe it's also a post in the Chronicle with as many or more people. I think I can see the frustration. The frustration is that, you know, there are a lot of defunct clubs out there you can go pick up, make your own, hire your own people. You don't have to live there anymore. You used to have a show in your county, and now you can have them anywhere. So you can live in another state, put on shows in another state with your own people, and not have a vested interest in a panel that takes care of the judges and takes care of the breeders. Mm-hmm. It can be done. But if these clusters like this start popping up everywhere, it's not going to happen.
So what's happening, we think, is just, these are dog shows for profit, obviously.
They are. Nonprofit shows for profit. Yep.
Yeah. And how are they getting away with that?
Well, I don't know. But I know that if there's three people in the club and it's nonprofit, I don't know. I don't want to speculate. But it concerns me that we continue to harp on the fact that our current system requires us to hire multi-group judges. If you're going to do that, at least give them the group they started with and the breeds they started with on as many days as you can. If you have a hound specialist who has five groups, don't have them judge just the other four groups and squeeze it right up to 175 every day.
Yeah.
These are, you know, judging 175 dogs is exhausting.
But it sounds like they're not doing their research when they hire these people, for one thing. They're not.
They don't care.
Well, yeah, because they just want to get the dogs in and out. Here's your change, you know. But if this is the way it's going to go, if they're going to go to dog shows for profit, I don't know if that's going to happen or if someone's going to put a stop to it. But you'd think if this person was a real dog person that was running these dog shows, he would try to have some support for the actual event. And if I were to hire Wayne Kavanaugh and he was an all breed judge, well, he starts off with the sporting group. You know, that's simple. That's simple research. It's if they're going to hire Pat Trotter, she starts off with the hound group, or at least some point, because right, that's who they are, really.
Well, the AKC has a wonderful website that tells you if you look at when they got each breed, tells when you go to the judge's name, all the breeds they're approved for are there and what date they were approved for them. So if you look for the first breeds they were approved for, that's their wheelhouse, right?
Right.
But I guess more important, if you're going to squeeze everybody to 175 and they're in their 80s and you're going to do that for 5 days, these people are especially when it's 100 degrees out or whatever it might be, this is dangerous.
It truly is. It's hard. It's dangerous for everybody, yeah, let alone our older generation. But what can be done about these dog shows for profit?
Well, I can tell you one thing. Stop letting people have new clubs or reform the clubs or have more shows. The last thing we need is another 5-day cluster. For God's sakes, it's ridiculous. You know, I look at the Chronicle Best in Show winners, you know, the results, when they put the results up. It's 45 dogs won the Best in Show in a weekend. Big deal. It's getting to be, you know, it's like Oprah. Here's the Best in Show. Here's the Best in Show. Everybody's gets the Best in Show, you know, because you have so many shows and they're all smaller entries. It's the same old thing. Well, we have too many shows. Now, those people, I get some people whining that I live in the rural area and we don't have enough shows. That's true. No one's taking your shows away. It's the ones that are, you know, exactly 200 and whatever it is miles away from each other that happen to have 10 in a row in both places four-hour drive away from each other. Oh, that's what we're talking about.
Last weekend in my area, we had three shows we could drive to, four if we wanted to cross the border.
Yeah. And well, that's every day up here.
Well, a few years back, I had an issue with a dog person because we had an issue where a club died. A club naturally died. They just folded. And this same thing happened. People jumped in, brought it back to life. Rather than letting the show that was opposite it become strong again, they brought it back to life. And when I said that to them, I said, well, that's not fair to this club because now this club, it had a chance of coming back to life because the other show naturally passed on. Mm-hmm. He said, well, we're going to make our show stronger so that club will fold. Well, what's that all about?
That's a great way to help the sport.
Yeah. I think greed is a terrible thing, and that's what it all comes down to.
Extinction isn't always bad, Will. We still have dinosaurs.
None.
We'd still have dinosaurs stepping on our heads, be inconvenient, and we'd get smushed. But there's a reason the market plays out like that and a club folds because there wasn't enough interest in their area. And we need to understand that that's just the way of the world. But it's, I don't know how many, I'm sick of saying it. But every problem we have can trace back to too many shows.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question.
If this was a two-day weekend and it was full of chock full of judges that people respect, spread around to the right breeds at the right time, the entry would be bigger and there'd be fewer shows and it'd be and they'd become more respectful shows. I don't know. I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it.
But it basically all comes down to greed, Wayne.
It is greed.
Because I was talking with someone last week. There were three shows in our area, and one show was in Quebec, but it was still driving distance. It was still 6 hours, which is nothing to a dog show person. If that was the only show, we all would have gone.
I wonder if you could say, and I don't know how you do it. Clubs are allowed to have one two-day weekend and one four-day weekend, and that's it. Four is the max. And then there could be special circumstances for like the Florida circuit in the winter where, you know, certain things that would make sense. And maybe you'd limit the seven show circuits to 10 a year. I don't have any idea. But I'm just saying there's got to be a way to have fewer shows. It's everybody's going to get sick or hurt. The judges, the older judges, and this system forces you to be an old judge. It forces you. You're never going to see an all-breed judge that's 40 years old.
Right.
You know, they're going to be 70s and 80s, and that's great, full of experience, but you can't beat them up by judging five-day clusters every weekend. I don't know the answer. I'm just tired of talking about it. And when you see the people pile on to this post and to the other post, the Chronicle, and you hear people talking, everyone's sick of it. Everyone. The handlers are getting burnt out.
Yep.
The dogs are getting burnt out.
I wrote an article years ago about the doomsday clock ticking for Ontario dog shows because of this was happening. This trend was happening years ago. But nothing's changed. It's just gotten worse. So.
And by the way, I heard reports of this particular cluster. Judges get a ticket for a hot dog from the vendor for their lunch and no rental cars, so you can't go out to dinner and have a nice meal. Just little things like that. I don't know.
They're squeezing every penny they can by the sounds of it. And that's not good for anybody.
No, it's not. Anyway, on to brighter.
Anyway, stay tuned. I'm sure we'll get more on this.
Yeah. So. And we'll find more information as well. And we'll certainly get back to you with more details. But I want to talk about another wonderful email from my dear friend Anne McKay. Boy, if you don't know her, you should. She's incredible. Belgians is her thing, and she's very, very bright. So we're talking about she's very much an international traveler and shows and and has a place, I believe, in France as well. So it goes back and forth. But she was telling me about the show she went to in Finland, and because she was amazed about how their software worked for the Kennel Club in Finland. It says the results are immediately available. And not only that, but when you click on the dog's name, it takes you right to the Finnish Kennel Club's database with complete working and show results for that dog, including some critiques in certain instances, health clearances, dog pedigrees, litter information, and then you can click around and find so much more by clicking on each dog. I've talked about this for years. I wrote an article about it called There's Gold in That Dana Mining or something like that. The AKC has an incredible staff of bright people. They have every high-tech computer system you can possibly have. And by the way, I own a dog registry. They are data companies. We are IT companies. And the AKC is an IT company. That's really what you do. You put on events and all that, but the core and the engine of your business is data. You're collecting data on dogs. Your inventory is nothing but dogs' names, 100 years worth, and you have all that information. If we went to a thing I talked about, and I doubt I'm the first one to talk about it, about giving judges some kind of tablet, iPhone, iPad, whatever, instead of these stupid judges' books with four Xerox copies from mimeograph ancient technology, where a 5 and a 6 can be misread because you smudge and it's handwritten stuff. And then Someone else has to type in the handwritten stuff. This is what you do in the 40s, never mind the 60s. You tap on your device, and in Finland, that's how they do it. You immediately know the results because it goes right to the Kennel Club, and it's posted immediately.
So the judges and the stewards have iPads in Finland?
What steward? Yeah, I guess he's doing there for some reason. But yes, the judges have an iPad, and they just touch on the dog name. First, second, third, fourth. Boom, 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 boom. And that is immediately posted and recorded. It goes to championship points. It goes to issuing certificates. It makes the manpower, women power, staff power so efficient. And if you're really interested in breeding better dogs, you click on the dog's name, it gives you its health clearances. We know that. We have OFA and CHIC. We know that. That data could easily be embedded in the AKC's pedigree system. Easily. It's dumped there every month. You could click on that dog's pedigree. And in Finland, you get their dog show results, kind of like you can get on InfoDog. You do it now. You can click on an InfoDog search.
Yep.
You can find that dog show records.
We have Canuck Dogs. You guys have InfoDog, yeah?
Yeah. This could all be done right from the judge's iPad. That one thing. And then, of course, the pedigrees at the Kennel Club enters, then gets merged with the show records and the health clearances and much more. Even critiques in cases where there's Belgians and specialties. It's astonishing. No paywalls, no memberships, no waiting for the local secretary to mail the results to the Kennel Club. Not even waiting until the show is over to see the results. The software connects everything to the Kennel Club in Finland. It's easily available. I don't know how it works technically, but I know that the dinosaur age there is gone and ours is here. Yeah. And I wrote an article, it might have been 2 years ago.
I remember, yes.
Saying, well, I wrote two. One on using the iPads because it's stupid that we have these archaic mimeograph page judges' books. That's just funny. By the way, it rains. there's grease and smudges and water falling on the judge's book and whatever else. And the poor supers are sitting there trying to figure out our writing, and mistakes are made.
Yep.
Because numbers look the same and there's three copies down. I get the pink sheet to take home. I can't read it half the time. And what am I going to do with that anyway? It could be right up on the system where I could access it too.
The only issue, it's not a big issue, but like we have shows up here that are in remote areas in fields.
Yeah.
It may not work.
They do in Finland too. There's technology for that. There's definitely ways to make that work. It might have to be delayed, but at least the iPad has it captured. When it comes to data technology, there's no excuses. It can be done.
Yeah.
It can be done. From in Finland and Ireland, everywhere else, Sweden, I know it's a great system. Sweden has a system that I remember from Honky Ed Hammer, was when you can plug your pedigrees in, it'll come up with a stop sign if there's a health issue on both sides of that pedigree.
Oh, wow.
Tell you that, hey, you know, you better be careful over here.
An alert. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And I've written about this. The AKC, if they want to make money doing this, if that's the issue, because it's always the issue, I would charge to put in my dog's name, a dog that I want to breed to, look at that pedigree together, like a trial thing, look at all the health clearances. If you want to figure out the co-breeding in whatever it's called, inbreeding coefficiency or whatever it is, co-breeding, coefficient of inbreeding, that's what I'm talking about. All that could be in there. You could look at the show records. You could look and see if those people are members of clubs. You could see if they're judges. You could see what clubs they have. It's all there. All that information is there. Link it together and sell it. You'll make a fortune, and you'll give breeders a tool they can use to breed better dogs. Why not do that, Will?
I don't see a reason, Wayne. That seems perfect, almost.
There needs to be a delegate committee working on just that. We have a lot of bright delegates. There's so many bright people at AKC that know how to do this stuff. Hell, you can get 14-year-old kids in their basement out of doing Witches of World Warcraft or whatever the hell they do and get them in there and fix this in 2 seconds.
Yeah, your IT manager, Captain Underpants. But, you know, the captain's going to get it done.
Oh, goodness. Sorry, that was a big, long rant. Someone got Kavanaugh fired up this morning.
Yeah.
Got me out of bed. I don't know.
Up there in Graceland. This is what's bothering. What's grinding Wayne's gears in Graceland?
Well, when you sit up here, you got plenty of time to think. We have new... I don't know, Will. I don't know. But we have a new living room set. We don't have a living room. We have it out. Well, we do have a living room, but outside we have another one now. Some men came with a truck, and a half hour later, there was furniture outside. And it has umbrellas with wheels that follows you around. So I'm thinking, well, this is silly. Guess where I spent my day and night last night? On the couch.
Outside,
looking at the pond with the umbrella over my head.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Sounds rough up in Graceland right now.
Yeah.
How's Cheryl?
Cheryl's back is doing much better. She has some, you know, some muscle issues here and there. But, yeah, she's off this morning. The Cherry Festival is in Traverse City this past week. I think it's about to wrap up this weekend. So the traffic gets extraordinary downtown. So you wake up and go to the store as early as you can possibly go. And that's where she is this morning.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a good idea.
I went to Home Depot at 6 o'clock yesterday morning. It was me who looking very much like a tourist. And then the big boys who are actually there to buy lumber, you know.
Buy lumber. My God, must be rich. Must be rich up there if they're buying lumber.
Telling you. Ooh, yeah. Expensive stuff. But, yeah, it's been, we're waiting on the darn house. You know, we still don't have a home. We're hoping that things, I'm frustrated. You and I were talking before we went on the air. I've got, you know, invitations to judge or do commentary or whatever. And I don't have access to my files because they're in storage.
When is your next show?
I don't know. I know I'm going to Houston. Oh, this is interesting. Supposedly, things come out of storage on the 19th. That would include my clothes, Will.
Oh.
You don't need clothes up here at Graceland. No, it's not all nude. It's you have 2 pair of shorts, 3 t-shirts, and you're golden. That's all you need. That's all you need up here. So everything else is in storage. I don't want to go to Houston for a week with just shorts and 3 t-shirts. You know, I could. But
when is Houston?
20th on.
Oh.
So the movers arrive on the 19th. I unpack the boxes, find the clothes, put them on, get up 5 a.m. and fly to Houston. Oh, what fun.
Wow. But you know what? You're going to a dog show and you're feeling better. And I know you love judging. So
yeah, it's my first time out. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's my first time. Well, it's my first time out of the state. It's my first time. Because up here in Graceland, it's still Michigan. Mm-hmm. It's the Antarctic, but it's still.
That the 20th, I'm just looking. I'm looking at it because we were going through your calendar before we started. So I had my calendar out to sync with yours. That's when I leave for BC. I'm judging at the Sporting Dog, especially in BC in that week. Oh. So we're both going to be on the road.
Absolutely. Would you do me a favor and stop in and see some beagles?
I'd love to do that, Laurie, if you're listening.
Laurie Cranemeyer, hello.
Yes.
Hello.
I'll be there for a week, Laurie.
Yes, please. We need to see those beagles. That would be fun. That would be fun. How far are you from Enderby?
I don't know.
Aren't you Canadian? You're supposed to every
village. I know, yeah. Aren't you from Canada? Do you know Jeff from Canada? Office Jeff. No, he works in an office. Do you know him? Oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah, I know. He died.
I love that. Is that from The Office?
But no, it was a commercial up here, actually. Oh, really? It was at Office Glen. It was about this. It was a hockey beer commercial about this Canadian in an office in the States. And this girl dances over to him. They're at a bar. And he's from Canada. I know a guy from Canada. Glen. Do you know Glen? He works in an office. Oh, Office Glen. Yeah, I know Office Glen. He died.
Beautiful. Well, I don't know where I am up here, you know, and you guys are like, yeah, you go up here and you turn out there and you go to Kalkaska, you know where that is, right? And then you go up Bunker Hill Road. And I'm like, I know the road from Kalamazoo to Traverse City. Do you, any other road you might want to write down for it? Yeah, he's up there on Bates.
You got to know. You pass by every day. Just keep going. You'll see the silo. Just keep going.
See the sign of the bridge. We went to a nursery yesterday to buy some shrubs because, you know, you have to make it into a floral competition as well up here. So we went to this beautiful nursery and this wonderful woman, and we're standing there. It's so beautiful up here. We're standing there looking through her stuff at the nursery, and I look out on the horizon and I see Traverse Bay and the hills behind it. And it looked like, I mean, you're just all of a sudden, you're in the nursery, you look up and it's paradise. It's just gorgeous up here.
It is beautiful. So, I remember we had our national up there at Traverse City 1 year. It was just truly a beautiful national. So it was hot. It was some hot. It was right hot, they'd say in the Maritimes.
Yeah. We've had cool nights in 70s and low 80s every day. It's been Shangri-La.
Oh, beautiful.
Just beautiful. But there you have it. Other than that, Will. Life's
a cabaret.
Mm-hmm. It is. So this weekend, where are you headed?
This weekend, I'm at a show in London, Ontario. The Jeremy Brown show. And it starts tomorrow. I'm going to drive there this afternoon and check out the site and prepare myself. And Young John has a few dates this weekend. Young John's my Irish setter, by the way. So I'll be stopping at Captiva on the way for Young John to entertain his dates.
Say hello to Jill Taylor. Yeah.
So it's going to be a long weekend that way, but for John, he'll be fine.
So are you judging this weekend or showing?
No, I'm showing this weekend. I'm showing the Arista.
He's going to have some dates and then right into the ring from there.
Pretty well. I told her London is on the verge of driving back and forth. It's over an hour, but then, you know, when I had 20 dogs, you stayed. When you just have an Irish Setter and a Beagle, you can kind of drive back. You're more mobile.
Right.
So I'll be driving back and forth, and I talked to Jill B, and she wants to know if I would stop on the way home after the show for Young John to entertain his female visitors. So that's
on the way home. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to do it on the way there. Because if so, every listener in the country is going to bring a bitchin' season. I'm sitting right there waiting for just to drive you crazy.
I'm just going
to
sit in the car. I'm going to send Young John into the house and I'll be out here, John.
Yeah. Wash your hands before you come back in, buddy.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing this weekend. Then next week, where am I? No, it's 2 weeks before I leave for BC. But that's going to be fun because Jamie, my son, lives in BC, and Liam's going to fly out with me. We're going to spend the week out there in BC.
Oh, and, that'll be great.
Yeah, and spend it with James and visit. And
well, this weekend, our daughter and her husband and our granddaughter are coming up to stay in Graceland with us. So maybe I'll come up to BC.
And guess what's coming up too, Wayne? We've neglected this topic completely lately.
What is?
The NHL draft is coming up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Montreal.
I think I saw your name on an alternate list, Will.
Oh, I'm sure. I'll be sitting by the phone.
I think somebody's going to – this is the year.
Yeah, Leafs are looking for a goaltender, you know. Now I'm in the twilight of my career, so I don't need a lot of money. No, I'll just go up there.
Get the pillows ready. You still have your pillows?
No, I don't have anything. I think I have a mask somewhere that I wear on Halloween to spook people.
I was going through our basement when we were storing, moving, all that crap. And I found a bunch of Brody's hockey gear that it's scattered all over the world at this point. But I take a picture of all this pile of stuff. And he goes, anything, I don't care, but that little stick, that little hockey stick, never ever get rid of that. It's his first hockey stick.
Oh yeah.
He still has it. And it's a player stick, no less, because he tried to play it. He was a defenseman for a couple of minutes before he got the pads. But yeah, it's great, his little player stick.
One of the only things I have from hockey when I was a kid, I remember my dad taking me to Maple Leaf Gardens, and we saw the Toronto Maple Leafs playing the St. Louis Blues. Back then, you used to be able to buy mini sticks at the games.
Yeah, sure.
Well, this is a real wooden mini stick.
Wow.
It's not like nowadays it's plastic, polyurethane, and all that crap. And I remember taking it home and I hockey taped it up. So it was like a little hockey. I don't know why I still have that, but it looks archaic, but I just, cool. I still have it. It's
got the little knob on the, oh no, you're not cool.
Well, I made that a tape knob. Back then you made the knob out of tape, you wrapped it around.
Well, it still does. Yeah.
Buy the knob now, just stick it on, tape it on. But we used to actually roll the tape up, make a crisscross and then wrap around and make the knob. We got a little off topic there, but that's what I have. And then
if it's hockey, it's not off topic.
True enough. Show.
We should talk about three things: nothing, dogs, and hockey.
And you know what? Since the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup, which congratulations. I know. I mean, Nazem Kadri was there, ex Maple Leaf. I'm thrilled for him. But because they all seem to leave the Maple Leafs and go win the Stanley Cup. True. But since then, I've been kind of bored, so I brought out my PS4, Wayne.
No, you didn't.
I brought out my PS4, and I'm having my own season. And the Maple Leafs are going to win the Cup. Even if I have to put the system down to rookie, the Maple Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup, and I'm going to go to bed happy.
That's great. That's wonderful. I'm very proud of you.
One year I did that. We won the Stanley Cup, and they have a whole – the presentation of the cup and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, sure.
Well, on the presentation of the cup, my good friend Zach Hyman wins the Conn Smythe trophy.
Of course.
In this. So I copied it and sent it to his dad. Here's Zach winning the Conn Smythe.
Hey, can we do that for dog shows? We need a John Madden dog. That's what we need. Yep. A John Madden dog.
Oh, over in the corner, the goalie retriever's going around the ring.
They call him that because he retrieves, and then he trees. When he gets retrieved, he trees, and that's why he's a golden retriever.
That's why they call him a golden retriever. That's right. We're way off topic.
He would have been the best, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, never mind Joe Garagiola, who was great. But John Madden would have been excellent at this.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
But really, you know, you could do it. It would be hysterical. Because I know in hockey, Brody used to be the GM. He did the trades. He sold the seats in the arena. He had to spend the money. He went right from build the jersey and logo right down, and then played. And you could do that. You could pick a panel. You could pick the dogs that were entered, and it could be also, listen to me, my data mind again, right? And you could see, you know, you wouldn't know, but the system would tell you by looking at how many times that judge put that dog up in the AKC system that you would have an indication of where it might land.
Yeah.
Placement. So you put your judging panel together. You put it in a state where people might come. We got it. We got it, Will. John Madden,
exactly.
Dog Show 23.
I have a feeling
we'd have to try not to rig it so it was always 2015.
Yeah. That could be the Doug edition.
That's the Doug edition, the Doug Bell edition.
A special edition.
Yeah. Bless his heart, man. He's such a good guy. He's been checking in on me. But I feel like I'm back. I feel great.
Well, you sound fabulous. You look good again. I'm sure the neighbors think you're living next to Robert Redford again. So
I don't know about that, but at least I don't sound like I'm on death's door. And at least
I don't know if you do. Do you watch Family Guy?
No, I don't watch TV. I told you we have. Did I tell you this on the air just before? We have four TVs here at Graceland. An exterior TV and then several inside. We have a televator too, a big screen that comes up out of the fireplace. I didn't even know it existed. It's a giant TV. And I refuse to have any of them hooked up because I hate watching. I don't want to hear about what's going on in the world.
Okay. Well, there's a character on Family Guy, this older gentleman. He wheezes a lot. And when you were at your worst, that's who you sounded like to me. I kept envisioning this character.
But was that the big guy with the fat head?
No.
Okay. That would have been horrible. Anyway. All right, bud. I've got places to go. I got to get the golf cart key. I got to get up to the pool. I don't know. It's going to be tough today. It's 78 and sunny. I may take a nap on the couch by the pond and the new furniture. So I go see some poodles, some standard poodles. Now I want one.
And they're a wonderful breed.
No more dogs for me. I'm done. Oh. Yeah, right. Yeah. All right, bud. Take care.
All right, Wayne.
See you next week. Good luck in London. And
thank you. And good luck with this weekend with Tatum. I'm sure you'll have a great time.
Oh, yeah. All right, bud. Take it easy. We'll see
you. Party on, guys. Stay safe out.
Party on, Bert.
No way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered glass.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. We love you, Ernie. From where I need to go.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Some extraordinary data things that are being done around the world.
Thanks, Ernie.